We're going to do a testimony time here, but before I do, I'm going to share that song is a powerful song. But every time I see it, I see someone down here in a wheelchair kind of spinning around, yelling, "Jesus, you're my way maker." Michael, it's hard to believe Michael passed away 2 years ago. That's a brother I'm never going to forget, and I can't wait to see him again. But as we go into our testimony time, I'm going to give you plenty of chance to talk. So if the Lord's got something on your heart, remember, a testimony is just giving God the glory for what he's done. It's okay to brag on God. That's allowed. That's allowed to be done. And guess what? God's going to be bragged on whether you do or not. That's just how it works because he's God. He's going to receive the glory. But how great, the greatest privilege we have is to give him the glory and just surrender and realize how good he is. But two things I wanted to share with you. We got a couple pictures, and I actually forgot about them earlier, but now that I forgot about them, I think it's actually better we do it in the testimony time. So God knew what was going on, as always. So we had a baptism last week right here, right? We had a baptism last week. Gabe and Nick both were baptized, and I just wanted to give God the glory for that because it was so neat. Every time we baptize someone, one of us, Dan or I, whoever's baptizing the individual, will talk to them beforehand, and we just want to know more about their testimony, about what God's doing in their life, and talking to those two young men just gave me so much energy and excitement because they're seeing God work in their lives, and it's a very real profession of faith. It doesn't matter that he's 7 and that Gabe's 13. That's real. That's God getting a hold of their life, and so we're excited about that. The second thing, a moment of testimony, is just you guys showed up. I don't know why I get surprised. I shouldn't be. You guys always do. We tried to do this, help pack the rack in the back, and we were going to hang them up, but we realized we didn't have enough hangers. I mean, this is 41 or 43, depending on which time my wife counted the boxes, somewhere in that ballpark, of large collection of clothes that you guys came through and donated. And so there's a picture of Lisa and I, she wouldn't get in the picture unless I did. So I wanted her to get in there because, she doesn't want to take any of the credit for this, and she's going to point it to God, as she should. But I just want you to know that when God puts something on your heart, when God prompts you to do something, you just step forward in obedience. That's what she did. She just said, "Hey, Pastor, I want to see this happen." And we said, "Amen, let's do it." And look at the result. And so just to highlight in a couple of the ministries downtown that I got to see, you go to the next picture, the YMCA, the YWCA of Alliance has this thing called the career. They have this clothing available to people, professionals that are starting a new job that maybe don't have the money to get them at full price, and they offer them at a really reduced rate. But the cool thing is this stuff is all lightly used, and some of it has tags on it, which is awesome. So it really gives them a step up. This mural was painted by Mount Union students, and so it's just a neat connection of how the community is working together to try to help people out. The next slide just gives you, there's the career and fashion boutique. And if you go in there, everything's $1, $2 at the most. A couple things are 2 for $1. I took a quick gander. I mean, there's some good stuff in there. This is really helping people out. So just wanted you to know about it. It's down there kind of behind the Towers, Apartments, and Alliance, road past Arch Street. I think it was on Linden. So just be aware of this. This is an opportunity we can to connect and serve there. I've got flyers if you're ever interested in serving. They'll take volunteers helping sorting and getting the clothes ready to go. So I just wanted you to know that. You think you're cleaning out your closet, right? And you are. That was part of it, right? That was part of the challenge in the spring season. My daughter, Grace, and all of them really, but Grace like gets in these cleaning modes, and she starts, she's supposed to sort one thing, and 4 hours later she comes down and everything looks immaculate. But taking a moment to just give to somebody else, give somebody else. We are so blessed with what we have. And so I just wanted to share that with you so you know that behind the scenes, there's a lot of things happening that we don't even necessarily talk about as much as we should. And just wanted you to know that. And you, by being here, by supporting the church, by giving to these drives and stuff, you have a part in that. That's important. Well, I wanted to open this floor up here. If anybody wants to give a testimony, anyone wants to share something that God's doing in their life, we open this up every fourth Sunday. If you want to share something, I'm looking around at my new normal culprits to see if they're biting this time. Anybody want to share something? All right, Lisa.
The only thing I wanted to share was thank you. I wanted to say thank you also for donating all your items, and it was fun. It was fun carrying all those boxes, but thank you.
Yeah, carrying them three times, I think, right? Yeah. All right.
I've tried to do takeaways from my morning devotions and that. And this morning there was it was 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. Very convicting to me. For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God and not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. So I've told Gary and Steph, everybody around me, that, you know, what's your motive for doing something? So God was asking me that today.
Thank you.
The ladies are studying in Joshua right now, Joshua 1:9. And one of the things that has been really interesting is rather than just studying the verse, we're looking a lot at the history, the background of the book, to get a little bit more insight in terms of what that verse actually means. And the beginning of Joshua is where the reins have been turned over from Moses. That would be a daunting person to follow in leadership. To Joshua, who now is taking the reins and taking the people to claim the land that God had given them. But there was an obstacle, and that obstacle, they called them giants in the land. They did not just merely walk in and take this land, they had to take the land by force. And Joshua had the task of leading the people. And we knew that from studying in Exodus that Joshua was a warrior himself. He trusted in God, but his heart was after God. So he had this combined heart for God, but God had given him this incredible ability to lead in a military fashion. And he would lead the people to the promised land. And God reminds him, and I love this because we often look at these people and think, well, they had so much greatness in them. You know, there was something in them that was so inherent that, you know, of course they would be successful. But God said this to Joshua, and I think this is a great reminder to us. The verse that we're studying, chapter 1, verse 9, it says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? It goes on. But isn't it interesting? God knew his heart. He knew what was inside of him. And though he was a warrior, and he had a lot of experience in leading these people behind Moses, God reminded him, be strong, be courageous. And I love, it's just a reminder that even in those moments where we aren't sure, you know, God has done great things in our lives and we think, man, God is just, he's so great. He's done so much. And you've allowed him to work in your life, that even though you may be a warrior for him, you are going to have those times where he has to remind you, be strong, be courageous. And it wasn't just a reminder. It was a command from God. And then it goes on to say, later in that verse, do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So no matter what, he had this promise that God wasn't going to leave him, but that he continued and needed to trust in him. And how so much more do we need to do that today, even in our own lives?
So this morning, I have a couple things that I would like to share. First of all, my mom is out of the hospital, so that's a praise. She's doing really well, and she's back to the Christine that she was before she went into the hospital demanding everything from everybody, so we know she's good. You know, when moms start to take charge again, you know, you know they're all healthy and strong. But, you know, God works in mysterious ways for different reasons, because he knows how to use people at the right time. And for those of you that know, like, my mom has a lot of medical issues, and over the past couple years and different surgeries that she's encountered. But every time a phone call rings and she tells me she's in the hospital or going to the hospital, I always make the initiative to be there for her, you know. And part of the reason is you got to have a strong support system somewhere and someone who's willing to advocate for you. And my God advocates for me every day, and I'm totally grateful for that, 100%. I know that no matter what I go through, he always provides. So when I show up, the first thing I say to her, "Hey, Mom, you want me to pray for you?" And then tears start coming. "Yeah, I need you to pray for me." And I know, you know, we all have our weaknesses, but we always need somebody who is willing to pray, because the light of the Lord is shining through you. And so I had a birthday this past week, and you know you're getting old when your brother calls and he says, "How was your birthday?" And I said, "It was great. I'm just now thinking about it." I said, "I woke up this morning and I knew it was my birthday, but I didn't really think about it. I just went about my day. But now I'm out here grilling for everybody, and I'm just looking at everything around me, and the things that I'm truly blessed for are just before me." And I started to share with him the things that I'm really blessed for. And it had everything to do with what God provided for me in my life versus materialistic things. You know, the people, the support, just being able to go to him in prayer. Those are the blessings that are more beautiful than just a gift that is given to you that's wrapped up and you can say thank you to somebody and go on with yourself. But I've come to the point where it doesn't matter what I have or don't have. He is more satisfying than a gift, because he chose me to celebrate. Just like we celebrate him on his birthday, he gave me a day and he celebrates me. And I just, you know, I really thought about that in a big perspective. Each one of us in this room get to be celebrated for one day by him. He chose you. And that was just a moment for me to realize how much my God loves me enough to celebrate me for one day. And so with that being said, I said to my mom, I said, "Mom, you know, I'm really thankful for you in so many ways than you can ever imagine, that you chose me. You chose to continue to give birth to me and allow me to live my life for 34 years. And you guaranteed me all the things that I needed. You never held me back from the things that matter the most. And you never held me back from my faith. And you let God just continue to nourish me. For that, forever grateful." So when you look at your life and you start looking at it, material things, then your heart isn't right with God in the way that he wants it. So I just ask that you take time with him. Guarantee what the things that he has done for you in your life and the purpose that you're here for, because it's definitely not for yourself. So that's what I have.
Thank you. Anybody else? David, all right, I see that hand.
Yep, that's me again. Yeah. The Lord has worked on me so much that ever since he started me on the book that he had me write, it has changed everything. I was in a doctor's office the other week, looking for a visiting nurse, and I had a little problem, so the Lord provided that. It's on they have a big waiting list for people for visiting nurses, and they found me one that day. The thing that God has always given me was the book they have me write. I always take it along to a new doctor or nurse that I'm involved with. Not that I'm pushing the book or selling the book or anything else, but there's so much in it that God put in my heart that it leads people to find him if they don't know him. And the nursing staff at the wound care center, since they work on so many people, and they actually go to their apartments or houses or wherever. It's not necessarily the hospital. I give them a couple copies. And last week, when I gave them to them, they actually read the thing. And they fell in the love with a prayer I wrote for nurses. They've come to love various parts of the book, and they're passing around to their money and nurses. And the Lord has provided the work I've done through him to help lead others, even their patients, to him. So, not that I'm trying to not be humble or anything else, which I try to be. His work always comes out, and it changes people's lives. That's all.
Amen. Right. All right.
Yeah, I know. I'm not huge on talking. I never really am. But the last couple weeks have been really trying in my life. So I lost my dad a few years ago. And with the birth of Lucas, I always was kind of like, I don't want to say like spiteful at God, but I don't know, like mad at myself for waiting so long to have a son that like my dad never got to meet him. So there's been a lot of things like going on with me and Rachel, like just not terrible things, but just trying things. And I think a lot of new dads kind of all go through that kind of stuff. But the last couple weeks, I've stepped back, and instead of shaking my fist at God, I've started to look at the different side of things. And I started to realize like a lot of the blessings that I do have, which I have a great wife who takes care of the home front. And then as far as like the dad thing, I started looking around at the different things I've noticed over the past few years, like, and how I see God interjecting my dad into other people. It's hilarious, but Gary Bush Sr., like, when you laugh and smile and make like your little quirks, I see my dad, and it's crazy. And Dale, how you listen and just kind of crack your little jokes, like there's so many like signs around that I think, like, when you lose someone, I think God pulls their soul to heaven. But I think he'll interject those people into other people's personalities in your life if you really take a look at it. And this is a testimony that I've wanted to give for a while now, but it really hit the last couple weeks. And I just, like, anybody that's going through a hard time, if you step back and you look at the way God interjects himself into other people for you, I think it does make a difference. And I've went from resentment to understanding in the last 3-4 months, and it's really helped me turn a corner in my spirituality. Like, and I just wanted to share that, because there are a lot of good people out there if you step back and you just look at different signs.
Thanks. That was close. Someone was scratching a beard, and I thought, it's another one. Another testimony. All right. You got to watch. I'll put a mic in your face, then you got to start talking. All right, I'm going to transition over.
Yeah. No, that's another time. If you live in the area and yesterday around 11-ish, you heard something that sounded like a big explosive. It was. Might have been Steve's house. I don't know. That's the rumor. Uh-oh, we're online now. Uh-oh. No, but I love testimony time because you just, some weeks there's a couple, some weeks there's, you know, 20 minutes longer. And just God working in your lives because I think, and I know, like, God gives me a message to share, and I'm going to do my best to share that in abbreviated form. But God also has moments throughout the service where he's like, I'm showing you something. This is for you. You know, if you're going through a hard time, you've lost a loved one recently, maybe you can relate to something Mark was saying. You're going through things in life. It's a challenge. And I love the Apostle Paul, because we're in Romans now, we're getting to the end. So we're in the last chapter and a half. We'll do this week and then next week, and then we're through the entire book of Romans. And Paul's in the home stretch. He's in the home stretch of this letter to a church that he was hoping to go see that he hadn't been there yet. He had given them this totality of what the gospel is. He tried to lay it out there. And I think, you know, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he was able to do that in an amazing way. And last week we saw how Paul pointed all of this to Jesus. He said, this is Jesus. This was his ministry. Jesus's ministry was impartial. He didn't hold back. No matter what rank you had in society, he would come to you and he ministered to them. He also was sacrificial. We realized that, yes, he died on the cross, but there were so many parts of his life that were sacrificial. Now we get to the end, and Paul is talking a little bit about his ministry to the Gentiles. His ministry to the Gentiles. And so, for the sake of brevity, I'm just going to kind of summarize this for you. And we would be in the passage from verse 14 through the end of the chapter. And the verses that we read earlier just kind of nail this exactly, what Jesus or what Paul was getting at. And so in verse 17, he says this. He said, therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. See, Paul lived a wild life. You talk about a guy who was this rabbi that was, he was a zealot. He was one that was, thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was proclaiming the goodness of God as a rabbi. He was saying, you know, the Jewish tradition, you must do, you must do, you must do, you must do all these things. And Paul was the guy that was viciously attacking the early church until a moment when he came face to face with Jesus Christ and lost his vision for a moment and realized it's not about doing, it's about the grace that we've been given. It's about Jesus Christ. And anytime Paul spoke, he never boasted about himself. He was boasting about what God was doing in his life and in his ministry. And it was a vast reach. If we look at the map that I've got to show you in here in the passage, it mentions Illyricum. And just a little history lesson, it was a Roman province during the time of the Roman Empire at this time. And so if you look all the way to your right, you know, the Mediterranean Sea is over there. And so over all the way to the right, where the edge on the east side of there is where, you know, Jerusalem and Israel would have been. And that black area was where Illyricum was. So that was a province that was there. And so Paul had an influence all the way from down by near Egypt in that area, Jerusalem, all the way up and around in that area. And if you read about his letters that he wrote to the various churches throughout that region, it's a vast, and we're talking about a time when they didn't have airplanes, they didn't have cars, they didn't have, you know, even boats of those days were nowhere what they are today. So this was a hard journey. And Paul's saying, I'm not boasting about what I did. I'm boasting about what Jesus Christ did through me. And so in this passage, Paul gives really 5 points to talk about God's ministry working through him. And let me just hit these quickly so we can get them. The first one is this, is that Paul's ministry, number one, was only by God's grace. Only by God's grace. God's favor given to a person that didn't deserve it, just like all of us. And it's all about what God's grace does in our life. This crusading rabbi who knew little about grace before he met Jesus face to face became a man that realized it was all by God's grace. In Romans 1, early in this book, verse 5, it says this. It says, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. So he's saying, as a believer, he's writing to the early church in Rome and saying, listen, we receive grace. We receive grace from God. And because of that, we have this call that we're able to go out to the people and teach them about obedience that comes by faith. See, Paul's ministry is only because of God's grace. The second thing is that Paul's ministry is only because of God's grace, but it's also was centered on the gospel. Centered on the gospel. I would say rooted in the gospel. I would say all about the gospel. You know, today's world, we have a lot of opportunities to minister to various people in various ways, and sometimes we get a little sidetracked. You know, we want to do good things in the name of God, and that's absolutely important. But if everything we do, if it's not rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're no different than any other organization. What sets us apart as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is we have the calling to take that gospel. And Paul was very adamant, very forthright, very out there. He did not mince words. It was all about the gospel. You know, in verse 16, you would see that it's only because of the gospel. It's only because of what Jesus Christ did and because of the power that comes from that through the power of the Holy Spirit. And my prayer is that it'll let it be said by those that come to this church that everything that Grace Community Church does is about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's proclaimed at the highest mountaintops, that that's what we're about. You know, sometimes we, in this 21st century, in this technology age, we see there's this, almost like this battle within us to try to make things more relevant, more like what unbelievers would see, and more friendly to the youth, more friendly to technology. And none of those things are bad in and of themselves, but if we are changing anything about the gospel, that's when the issue comes in. If we speak the gospel in the name of the Lord Jesus, that is enough to change lives. In fact, that is the only thing that can change lives. So let it be said about us here at this church that when we're ministering, when we're serving, that it's centered on the gospel. The third thing about Paul's ministry as patterned after Jesus is that it was done for God's glory. In verse 17 that I read already, it says, therefore, in light of everything before that, I glory in Christ for my service, in my service to God. See, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about the church in Rome back in that day. And Paul's not even saying it's not even about him. It's all about bringing glory to Jesus in his name. Because listen, if it's anything other than grace, if it's anything other than the gospel, if it's anything other than by God's glory, we're not heading in the right direction. Colossians 1:18, part of that verse says this, is the latter half of the verse, says, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. In this, another letter by Paul to the church in Colossae, he's telling them about Jesus Christ being, again, the gospel being the supreme thing, the number one thing, and that's what he's hitting at in this verse. Just a reminder that it's all for God's glory. Personal application that we can walk away and ask ourselves, is that how we live? Is that what's the number one thing in our life? Is that the thing that drives us beyond all other things? Now listen, it's not bad, it's not wrong to try to work well and to move your way up the ladder and improve your situation in life. All those things are, you know, we should do our work as though unto the Lord. But ultimately, what is the big overarching tent that would go over your life? What is the number one thing that motivates you? Sometimes this is a challenge even for me because, you know, you're like, well, pastor, that's what you do. You get paid to have ministry. And that may be true, but that doesn't mean the struggle to keep things centered is any less real for me. We have to always come back to our mission statement as a church. What are we about? What is our vision supposed to be? And ultimately, we are called to serve for God's glory. So we realize that Paul's ministry and ours really is all about the gospel. It's all because of God's grace. It's all for God's glory. And then maybe more importantly here, Paul's ministry, the fourth one, was done by God's power. It's all because of him. And if we keep that at the core center, if we realize, yes, it's all for God, it's because of his glory, it's because of what he did through Jesus Christ, it's but the grace of God, and that it's by his power, this helps us stay a little more humble. Now, we weren't talking earlier about this idea of giving God the glory, giving God the praise, bragging on God. You know, that's okay. We're giving him, we're putting the recognition on him. It's all because of him. This helps keep us in a healthy perspective. And it's all for God and because of God. It's by his power. You know, a phrase I came across relatively recently, and I've said a couple times, is as a believer, we always have to balance this idea of our responsibility with what God's power and his ability. And so I kind of think of it this way, is that we realize that it's all because of God, right? It's only because of what he's able to do through us that we see any success. But we are called and we have a responsibility to live as though we're serving him. Live in a way that is like in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit. You know, what does other people say about your life when you live? When you walk into an area, what do they say? Do they say, man, that guy's really got a sense of peace in him. He's got a sense of joy. He's got a sense of tenderheartedness. She's got a sense of ability to listen. You know, we have to do this with God's power, but we also have a responsibility to live in a certain way. And so we should always be living our lives as though it all depends on us, fully recognizing that we also need to be on our knees praying as though it fully depends on God. God is going to work, but so many times it doesn't require, but he chooses to work through us taking that first step. You know, I think about my journey to becoming pastor, and I think that in my mind, the moment of commitment that I had in the moment when I set up a meeting with Dan all those years ago, I just said, Dan, I really need to come in and talk to you. I just feel like something's in my heart. I had no idea what God was doing, but I just stepped in and said, this is what God's asked me to do. I want to obediently follow that. And Dan, being the amazing man he is, did everything he could to support in that matter. And I'm not sure either of us knew at that time. I know I didn't know that God was taking me to be a full-time pastor and take over at this church. But in those moments of obedience, in those moments of saying, God, I know you're doing something. I know it's because of your power. I can't do it on my own. I'm scared. I don't know what you're calling me to. Step. One moment of step. That moment of surrender allows me to then catch myself and realize a few more months later, okay, God's saying, this is one direction. Take that step. All the while, behind the scenes, God is working in so many ways that I couldn't possibly have seen. Can you relate to that? Do you have that moment in your life where you can look back and say, yes, God, I saw you calling me in that moment. I had no idea what you were calling me to. And let me say it's a good thing I probably didn't, because I might not have gone the step I took. But if you're in that step now, maybe there's something God's laying on your heart to change, to take a step, to lead a ministry. Maybe it's just to talk to a neighbor that you've lived next to for 5 years, but you haven't really ever talked to. Maybe it's that person that waits on you every day at Panera. Yeah, that's me. The older ladies there are just so awesome. It's been fun to get to know them. But maybe it's that conversation. You never know. God may be just asking you to say hello, and you have no idea what he's doing behind the scenes. But isn't it amazing that we can trust in God's power? If you look back in your life as a believer, you realize that he may be calling you into a ministry and you may not even know what it is, but all along, he's going to deliver the power. And finally, Paul had this to say, his ministry was according to God's plan. You know, verse 23 of this chapter, this is what it says, is, but now there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for so many years to see you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. So what is Paul talking about there? He's saying in that region, we looked at on that map, I think I've got it in there again if you want to pull that up there. In that map, in that region where Paul was called to, there was no place left that he hadn't taken the gospel. Now, does that mean everybody accepted the Lord? No, of course not. But it means that Paul had obediently, and he said, listen, I'm coming to you. We'll see this next week. I'm coming to visit you in Rome. That's what I want to do because I'm going to Jerusalem to take an offering there, and then I'm going to go to Spain. And so on the way, I'm going to stop in Rome. And so we all know what happened. Paul went to Rome. Paul didn't go the way to Rome the way he thought. He went as a prisoner. But Paul was trusting in God's plan, realizing that in that moment he had done what God had asked him to do there, so he was going back to Jerusalem, and then he was going to be heading on to the rest of his journey. And let me leave this last thing with you. The last few verses in this chapter talk about the ministry of the Gentiles. So the Gentiles who came to know the Lord through Paul's ministry were the ones that sent him with an offering back to Jerusalem. Catch that. The Jews are where that started, and so it started to spread, and Paul took the gospel to the Gentiles in the regions that we see in that map, and in light of that, they caught Paul's vision. They caught that it was all about God's grace. It was all for his glory. It was all because of his power, and they realized that part of the plan for their lives was to give back to the church in Jerusalem. And so I want to leave this last statement with you as the worship team begins to make their way to the stage. If you call the name of Jesus as your Savior, the Lord Jesus as your Savior, what is he working in your life to then minister to others? See, Jesus didn't come to provide a fire insurance. I'm really glad he did, and I don't have to suffer in hell because of what he did for me and because I've accepted that. But he's called me and called you, if you're following him, to so much more. Just like those Gentiles that he took the gospel to, they realized that they had been called into that same ministry, and they said, here's part of our giving back, and take that back to the church that was responsible for this whole thing started. So let me ask you, what is God asking you to do for somebody else? Or what is God asking you to do to serve in a ministry? Could be in this church. If you want to volunteer, let me know. I'll plug you in. It might not be. It might be that maybe you're called to start a Bible study in the place where you work. And you're like, oh, pastor, that's too hard. Not with God. Maybe he's calling you to talk to your neighbor, or maybe he's calling you to get involved in a bigger ministry. I don't know. Maybe he's calling you to be a missionary overseas or somewhere else in the United States. I don't know. But I do know this. When God gives you a prompting, I encourage you to take a step. Trust in him, because it's all about his grace. It's all about what he's done for you. It's all about the power of Jesus. And he's equipped us to do the ministry that he's given us, and let us be obedient to take that first step. As we get to our feet and we sing this last song, The Heart of the Father, let these words just soak in and challenge you today.